one of his first converts, and of course they've been close friends over the years. They're from an incredible place. 9 years ago, we were able to minister in Malta, and it's in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. It's probably one of the most unique places I've ever been in the world. They have a house that is over 300 years old, and it is just absolutely incredible. They have a bomb shelter that came with the house that is below the basement, all carved out of granite and stone. It's just hard to describe. It's so incredible. And of course, they will be telling you more about this, but they're over several countries, Morocco and Tunisia, and he and she are two busy people, and right now they're on deputation and getting partners, and we've supported them and will continue to support them. But they've just been friends. We had such a great time when we were in Malta, and they have a great church there, and they're excited about getting back. Amen. But this morning, they're going to tell us a little bit about Malta and their other ministries. You know, over the years, I've had so many conversations with missionaries thinking there's got to be an easier way than traveling from church to church to church in order to get support. And yet, I really believe that it's God's will, because what happens is the burden that they have is then transferred to people who will then pray, which is even more important than the financial support. And so we need to pray for these people. Let God bring their faces to us when they have needs. And it's important that we join hands with them and the work that they have in Malta. Amen. So would you welcome Brother Parker to this pulpit?
Love you. So honored. Church, I believe we should clap our hands to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift your voice to the King of righteousness. Lift your voice to the Savior. The Savior. Lift your voice to Him this morning. Amen and amen. He is so great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen and amen. Kirby and Mary Parker have come to Racine to pray that we might be a blessing, and it's already reciprocated and worked the opposite way that we had intended. We prayed for this service ongoingly from several weeks ago and even this morning, and I am struggling a bit at the moment for words. So I'd like to ask you to greet your neighbor with a handshake and a smile and say, Jesus is so very, very, very good. And please be seated. We are Kirby and Mary Parker, missionaries of the United Pentecostal Church to five nations. We have our home at our base in Malta. This time of year, it's nearly 500,000 people. We have Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, and Libya as part of our direct work in hand. And then I'm area coordinator for a total of 23 countries across the Mediterranean, North Africa, the Middle East, and the Gulf states. And in those 23 countries, there are just right under 500,000,000 souls that we are endeavoring to reach out to. We have 15 missionary couples and individuals there that work with my wife and me and our regional director. My wife and I, we are people here this morning under authority. Michael Tuttle is our regional director, and when he says go, we say how far. And so we're under direction, and we're so thrilled this morning to be here in Racine, Wisconsin. We give honor to Brother and Sister Schumacher and to Brother and Sister Portman. Amen. We heard of these people, and we hear of you here at this lovely, gorgeous, and beautiful, and state-of-the-art church. How gorgeous and how eye-catching and appealing, both outside and inside. We hear of your fame when we're even out of Wisconsin. We try to make mention, say, Brother and Sister Schumacher, these are one of the best-kept secrets in Pentecost, but word gets out, brother. Amen and amen. And so they blessed us. Yesterday was our 48th wedding anniversary, my wife and me. Thank you. Thank you very much. And we were entertained by the Schumachers. They took us to Apple Holler. And we did some hollering at the Apple Holler, and that was absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. And then we went around to various places and finished off with Starbucks and home fellowship with apple pie in the Schumacher's living room. And that was such an honor and such a treat. And these people, they are true warriors of the cross now, because when you come to Malta, it's sort of like you can now wear a certain kind of badge. You know, we teach on spiritual warfare, overcoming in the spirit. But not until you've stood on a bluff looking out to sea and realized this is where Paul was shipwrecked. This is where the snake bit him. This is where he shook it off into the fire. That's about a mile and a half from our home. The Schumachers have stood on that bluff. And so they are qualified. When they come here and speak to you and stand up and preach to you about overcoming in the spirit, they've been there. They have felt something of the spirits that are entrenched there, that have been working there for a very, very long time. And so we salute you, Brother and Sister Schumacher. Thank you for coming to Malta. Thank you. Brother Schumacher was our keynote speaker at our first ever Mediterranean. We called it the Ignite the Flame Conference, and he came loaded for bear. And speaking of that, you know, we're not always in Wisconsin. We're not always in God's territory, God's country like this. And you live in an absolutely drop-dead gorgeous state. Do you know that? Do you realize that? This place is beautiful. It's beautiful. And so let's start with Wisconsin by going like this. We're not always in Wisconsin, but we'll start here. Now, hang with me, because there's a point to this, okay? So part of this has to do with the way I introduce Sister Parker. So is this Wisconsin? Is this okay for Wisconsin? Okay, but, you know, we're from California, so this is our perception of Wisconsin. We are usually here when this is the appropriate thing to have on your head, especially if you're from California, okay? But we're not always in Wisconsin. No, sometimes we are in Europe, and so we're prepared for Europe, and I have a collection of these, and this is what we look like in European Malta, France, England, Germany, Portugal, Spain, and some of those places. You know, I've got a collection of these, but we're not always in Europe. No, sometimes we go to the Middle East, and so I was in the Middle East just in April of this year, and I looked around, Brother Schumacher, and I thought, I don't look like one of the men here. How many's ever been to Oman? How many knows where Oman is? So I'm in Oman, and I look around. I go, I don't look like these guys, but I thought, I'm going to look like an Omani man. And this is what I'm talking about. And so I started to look a little bit like a man from Oman. But, you know, some of those people spoke better English than me, so I had to give it up. But we're a lot of time in North Africa in sort of more or less rustic cultural kind of places. Now, Brother Schumacher, this one, when I do this one, you're going to notice a rise of a spirit of jealousy in the congregation. among the men. The younger the man, the more jealousy. Here it goes. And so with this one, the ladies chuckle, but I heard nothing from the men. They're sitting there gulping, going, how can I get one of those, you know? Those? Or how can I get that one? So pastor can preach to tell you how to repent afterwards, okay? So now this one is just a little bit more complicated. Sometimes we go into the central part of the Middle East, and so I've got to do this here. And this is called a kafaya. You know it from Yasser Arafat and Saddam Hussein, but that is an actual kafaya. It's nothing more than headgear. So we put this on like this. It's sure getting quiet in here. Banju, Lodbotayaba, Kifinti. Kifintom, Kem intom Sibia. Ilmalita Tayab, Isena Tayaba, U Lita Tayab Ukol. Atita Apostoli, Kapitlu Tenein, U Vers Teminia U Tletin. Imbat Pitru, Alil Om. Intmu, U Kulwi Hedminkom, Yetamed, Fisum Jesu Christu. Al Mafretad Nubiat, U Tail Awadon. Ta illa spiritu santu. And now you can clap your hands. So I'm gonna introduce my wife in just a second, but I have to tell you this. So the Schumachers, they did talk about our home just a little bit, and we are convinced that because of the name of our street, in English you would say High Street or Main Street, that is one of the oldest streets. It's paved today, yes, and when you open our front door, the other front door across the street, all the way across the street, is 8 feet over there, okay? So you step out of our front door, and you there is no porch, so when you step out of the front door, you're already looking for a car that might go whizzing by the front door right there. So this place is old. The house is 300, but that street bed there, I think that may go back millennium. And just possibly the Apostle Paul walked up that street. There's some legends about that. But we could take you just a five-minute car ride, put you on that bluff. You could be looking out to see this ship of Paul's struggling out there on that reef. And then it breaks up, and Paul comes safely into land with the 275 people that were with him. And they look around, and they see the humble island people making a fire. The Bible says they were kindling a fire. So Paul wants to add to the fire building project to warm everybody up. It was cold and it was raining. So he gathers a bundle of sticks, and the Bible says he goes over and puts the sticks onto the blaze, and up out of the heat there came, fastened on his hand, a twisting, writhing, serpent beast of a snake. That took a lot of effort. You know, your heart starts thudding a little bit when that thing is hanging off of your hand. Isn't that correct? So what does Paul do? He dies. He dies right here, doesn't he? Did anybody say yes? He dies right here, correct? Correct? What happens? He just shakes off the beast into the fire and the flame. It's a lesson, my friend, in spiritual overcoming victory. Holy Ghost at the front of the book of Acts. We receive this born-again experience. We are baptized in the name of Jesus, filled with that Spirit of God that we speaking with other tongues. And then towards the end, there's this other humble island people. We got a lesson, my friend, in spiritual overcoming victory. God plants that and puts that straight in our bosom, straight in our very core spirit, and we're alive in Christ Jesus. But we as believers in Jesus, we put the right kind of Christian fuel into that flame. we put prayer and Bible study, we put the anointing we feel in our home when we're devoting daily to the Lord Jesus Christ. When the church doors are open, we're fellowshipping with those of like precious faith. We are bonded to a pastor and his family. We love the fellowship of God's people. Can you say amen? We're loving him with all of our heart and soul and mind and being. We're with financial stewardship. We're helping to support the work of God in this local assembly. Then when the enemy comes along and we're not ignorant of his devices, we recognize that is a part of what he is trying to do to destroy. And we know a Christian flame is readied with Christian fuel in that, and we just shake off the beast. And church, we have individual collective victory in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And with that, I introduce my wife. We are working on 49 years. We had 48 years yesterday.
Nobody wants to see me go splat, because I have splatted before. I broke my leg in Malta. I missed a step about that high, and my husband never wants to see me do that again, because I was in bed for 9 weeks, and he had to do everything. So, that was where he learned about getting up early in the morning. Well, thank you for having us come back. This is such a treat, and thank you. This is the first time we have ever been here, I believe, when the sun is shining. I don't mean that badly, but I think this is the warmest it's ever been when we've been here. So this is really special, and you do live in a beautiful place. I'm telling you, Sister Schumacher and I were talking yesterday, and she was saying you'd been to Arizona, and Arizona's a desert. Well, Malta is a rock, and we don't have green like you have green, so we just get excited with all the trees and the green, and it's a wonderful thing. Well, I'm a quickie commercial break. Out the door in the big lobby, we have, who likes to eat? We have cookbooks from the kind of cuisine that we have in our part of the world. We have lots of pasta. Do have one North African cookbook out there. So very good food. They could bring that stuff tomorrow, right? I mean, that would be a good thing. And also, just real quickly, I want to personally say, and this is for my husband because he reaps the benefits. Thank you to Mother's Memorial for our appliances, because I know you folks are big Mother's Memorial supporters, and we love our appliances. When we went back from our last deputation, we qualified for new appliances, and we got all energy efficient ones, so that was very, very special. So I can actually use my oven now. That's it. And we say thank you so much. But I also, 48 years on, I have to tell on my husband. Bless his heart. He's so bold with his Maltese language. And we've taken 4 years of lessons, and I am going to be his translator right now. I'm going to tell you what he actually said. How many realized he was quoting Acts 2:38 towards the end of that? See, look, anybody here actually speak Maltese? Because I can apologize in advance if... No, my husband didn't just quote Acts 2:38. What he actually told you was, good morning, good morning. How are you all? How nice you all look. Then he told you Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Easter. And then he quoted Acts 2:38. So it's, you have to use it or lose it, right? But Maltese is a dialect of Arabic. And while that is the official language in Malta, there is another official language. I am speaking it now. I'm pretty fluent. And, I'm very thankful that English is common. But my husband's going to come. We are going to sing a couple of choruses in Maltese. We do sing in church in Maltese sometimes. And so see if you can guess these songs.
Kun sad, songs are here. All is Allah sidik mie. Kun sad. Soms ze hier, alles alles zie ik meer. Tien man nips a shane, le 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 man it hark shane. Ashen dim she be reb how fit to me. Nay, Ahu dim she be reb how fit to me. Alish la see, jack me, yeah.
Be bold. Kunsad zomsehia. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I think some would recognize this.
O Emil Awa, Awa, Awa Tala Lodja Bidim Tauharu. O Emil Awa, Awa, Awa Tala Lodja Bidim Precious Tauharu.
Again.
O Emil Awa, Awa, Awa Tala Lodja Bidim Tauharu. O Emil Awa, Awa, Awa Tala Lodja Bidim Precious Tauharu.
Now sing with us in English.
There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
We have our techno geniuses, Brother and Sister Hoffman, who have been laboring behind the scenes to make sure that this presentation. This is an overview of our time the last couple of years in Malta. So if we could go ahead and show that at this time, that would be very lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Brother and Sister Hoffman. And so if you have the PowerPoint of the slides, my message this morning is a kind of a picture-driven thing. Just go ahead and scroll several slides through there. We do bring you greetings. God is having people to be born again in Malta and across the various territories that we do serve in this part of the world. And altogether, it is one half billion souls in these 23 countries. And we have some tremendous colleagues and support all over the map. And we thank you. We thank you again for our She's for Christ vehicle. This is a blessing that words just fail to communicate it. We have been in a couple of pretty good car accidents. Not our fault in Malta. Hit from the side, hit from behind. And so we a little bit more substantial vehicle there. Just hold up. Those last three slides showed you a property purchase that we are working on, and we are very near to completion with this. We have about 50% of the needed down payment to move into this property. We have more than $70,000 on deposit at headquarters, and this is not the greatest outside picture, but this is very near where the Apostle Paul would have spent the 3 months that he was in Malta. And this comes to us at a price that is surely 20 or even 25% or more reduced kind of price to us. It's a kind of an answer, a little bit of all the needs that we have: administrative space, boardroom, seminar and training area, studio apartment, full kitchen, commons area to feed perhaps 50 people, and there's worship room on the inside for at least 50 people to have church in this property. And we would see this as a footprint beginning to come into, you know, closing out part of our work there. And we would just replicate this idea in key and strategic areas throughout our island to see this growth pattern replicate itself all over where we live there. We're excited about this. If you can help us with the property purchase, please see Pastor after service this morning. Tonight, we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter number 8. I kind of let the cat out of the bag there. Go ahead and scroll a couple of slides there, Sister Hoffman. And that's Frank putting in $125. That's 100 euros in his hand. And he has pledged far more than that to help us to get into the property. We have, your understanding that we ask you to help us with this. Thank you for understanding that we have some security concerns. This is the Muslim world primarily that we minister. We have both Islamic people and non-Islamic people coming to the Lord in virtually all of these countries where we have our ministers. We just put in July, we put a United Pentecostal Church family in Morocco. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. But go ahead and take your Bible. We're going to work on that security thing again, but just take your Bible and go to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse number 9. Chapter 16 of Deuteronomy, verse number 9. We're going to talk about Pentecost in prophecy and Pentecost in the present, but I want to challenge, if we can impart, if we can impact, if we can show that God will empower all of us as individuals, the challenge for us is sort of like always yet before us. We are working to replicate ourselves. We are the sheep of his pasture, and we go out and we bring more sheep. We figure out a way to make the sheep thing happen, and we do plant, we do water, we do sow, and we plant some more, and we pray. So I'm going to talk to you about your testimony and challenge you with your prayer life. Between both of those things, I'm going to try to get you to do something. And there will be a fabulous, fabulous harvest in the things of the Lord. Pentecost in prophecy, at least four places in the writings of Moses. Chapter 16 of Deuteronomy, verse number 9. 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn, and thou shalt keep the Feast of Weeks. It's called variously in the Old Testament. It's called the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of the Ingathering, the Feast of the Lord's Harvest. And you're going to keep this feast. And verse number 11, the beginning, and thou shalt rejoice. Everybody say, I'm going to get happy in Jesus. I'm going to get happy in Jesus. Amen and amen. My wife and I, we read this morning in the 49th Psalm that there's wealth aplenty. But in this country that is the most blessed and amazing place the Lord has ever permitted to be on this planet, we find such hunger. And it's though day by day, we seem to be challenged. Somebody wants to talk to us about God. We're thrilled when that happens. It's like wherever we go, in whatever country that we are in, but especially in this country, because there's some things that cannot satisfy. There's things that I cannot purchase for you with my pocketbook. Jesus is the only one that can furnish that redemption that is so sought after, my friend. Go ahead and be seated this morning. We're going to talk about putting the sickle to the corn, waiting in the wings, waiting there in your family structure, waiting across the back alley on the job at work. There are hungering souls. There are people doing like I perhaps did some 43 years ago, laying in my bed at night after a night of partying, hair down the middle of my back, looking up at the ceiling. Jesus, Lord God, Jehovah, whoever you are, if you would reveal yourself to me, tell me your name. Give me a real experience. I will serve you. I didn't know a sinner's prayer, but I knew to say something along those lines. And 3 months later, after praying that, maybe into the fourth month, there came Glenn Wakefield, missionary now in Mexico for nearly 25 years. And the Schumachers know them probably better than we do. And we've not seen them in 13, 14 years. But they're true believers, my friend. We long for the next time we can fellowship with them. He took a Bible out of his pocket. He handed it to me. I guess you might say it was a Bible study on the job. How many has ever been involved in a Bible study on the job? We're not trying to get you into trouble, but sometimes on breaks, you can give a little quick, short kind of witness. He took the Bible. He turned to John 1:1. He said, Kirby, have you ever seen this verse? I looked for the first time in my life. I was raised Jehovah's Witness, and I thought I knew something about Scripture, but I saw for the first time in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Flood lamps went off in my soul, my friend. Its illumination began right there. I saw the plan of salvation. I knew that I could repent and be forgiven by God. I went home from work and told my wife. I said, you'll never believe what I saw at church today, at work today. And I said, look at the Bible. And we have a Bible in our home. And we opened it. She saw immediately the things that I was seeing. And we got born again in short order, my friend. Born again into this one God, apostolic, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The night that I received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the preacher shouted in this ear. He said, isn't Jesus wonderful? And pow, I started speaking in tongues, and a man shouted in this ear. My wife and I were maybe a couple yards apart, and he shouted. He says, and your wife is speaking in tongues right over here next to you. And we just kind of just rejoiced and rejoiced together. I think for 30 minutes, Pastor, I was speaking with tongues in February 2nd, 1975. God, my friend, is very, very lovely and beautiful. But somebody had planted a word. Somebody took the time to give a brief witness that went on into a fuller and more complete witness. And yes, there is a friendship that is involved. There is trust and confidence that goes back and forth when you begin to show yourself real and alive as a believer to the next hungering soul. We're going to talk about these things that would challenge all of us here tonight when you put the sickle to the corn this morning. So how many knows what a sickle is? Raise your hand. This is Wisconsin. Just down the road, there's this beautiful agricultural historical center that, you know, showing that this place knows what ag is. You know, I grew up in a sort of an agricultural-based place, and my father was a doctor, a chiropractor. Talk about that a little bit more tonight. But this thing of this sickle, we grew up on a small farm in Northern California. We kind of played cowboys and Indians with that. You know, we kind of acted like we're going to throw it at my older brother. And we played target practice with the sickle, but it's a harvesting tool. And we used it to clip down weeds and things like that. But you can go up to a shock of wheat or some other kind of grain or harvest, and you grab it in one hand and you whack it down by the roots near the ground, and you begin to stack these things into a sheaf, and it starts making something that we would say, that's the harvest forming there. And it's because somebody is putting the sickle to the corn. We have bread on the table. We have food in the cupboards and in the refrigerator because somebody is putting the sickle to the corn. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So the main idea with this, go ahead and give me a couple more slides here. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So we're going to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers, because lots and lots of 2018 left. Can you say amen to that? And it is God's great harvest. The next slide, please. And this is the one you want to take a photo of. And you've got this now in your database here in the church. And you can look up these four places where similar language is used, yet a slightly different focus in each one of these places. That of first fruits, that of offering and sacrifice, but then this thing about joy. So it's not Pentecost. It's not the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, but it's rather here. It's this great celebration. It's one of the three main celebrations of the Old Testament of getting happy, because security against the future winter months is ours because the grain has been brought in. And we can rejoice about this thing that is happening in front of us. And everybody's involved in it. The women are doing all the hard work, you see. That's kind of the way it works. You know, here's the women. The ladies are supposed to say, preach it, brother. See, it's all women there, you know, gathering in this harvest thing. We'll talk more about that later. But go ahead and move the slide. We'll just kind of bring you some life's experiences. My wife and I always ask the Lord, how long would you be asking us to? All of our best friends, they walk up and they shake hands and they go, Brother Parker, how much longer are you going to keep doing this? When are you going to retire? And so I say, well, please define retirement for me. Well, it's so that you can go and do something that you love. I'm loving what I'm doing. God has given us grace, and he has given us grace with the people that we love and that we're working with. Okay, you went too fast. Can we go back? Can we go back? Yeah, just hang in there until I give you the, thank you, Sister Hoffman. She's doing a great job. And, people want you to come up with a sickle in your hand. People want to, they want to expect something. Now, yes, they figure you out, and they're smarter than we are, and all of those kinds of things, and they go, oh, this person is trying to drag me into their church so that I can be just like them, you know. But head them off at the pass. Just pray for that person, and then when they start talking, you just cut to the chase. Give them a Bible. Give them a little leaflet. Give them a tract. My wife and I were asked to go to a restaurant. Talk to the head waiter. We knew this guy for years. We knew what his name was. But we go. One of our Chinese ladies in the church said, go and talk to Raymond. So we went into the restaurant. We're sitting there. Raymond comes over. And he sees us, pastor and wife. But he doesn't know that we are United Pentecostal. He doesn't know that we're apostolic or Jesus' name. We just introduce ourselves and have these pleasantries. And then he says this. Raymond spoke to my wife and me beside the table in this busy restaurant. He said, I found Baxter. Online. I found Baxter online. We said, isn't that absolutely wonderful? We know Baxter. We have met Baxter. We have shaken Baxter's hand. We have had conversation with Baxter. We have been in Baxter's Jerusalem office where he beams these Bible studies of the end times back and forth. And whatever our opinion of some of the things that he presents, that's one thing. But this fella said, I found Baxter online. And I said, well, let me show you what Baxter believes. So I pulled from my pocket, my Bible on my phone. I began to show him Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. We had this great conversation. And before we left the restaurant that night, I handed Raymond a baptism tract. It says the truth about water baptism. And he took the tract and he looked at it and he says, I want to be baptized. And 3 weeks later, we baptized Raymond in the name of Jesus. Part of the prayer that we ask to the Lord periodically, Lord, when would you be finished with this? And we feel like as long as he's providing health and as long as we are effective, there's this degree of effectiveness that we calibrate some of the things that we got going on. And this man, he texted me, Yafar, meet him from Mauritania. He writes and says, when are you coming to preach the gospel in Mauritania? And I wrote back saying, we're not coming because that's not really part of our territory. However, we will do our best to get some representative to come over and preach to you. And he says, but wait a minute. He says, next week, my brother and I, we are going to Senegal. Do you have somebody in Senegal that can preach to us? And I said, yes, we have Craig and Lynn Sully. So I put contact details in both of their hands. This man and his brother, they go to Senegal. And brother and sister Sully, they're so sweet. They're soul winners. And before this man and his brother, before they left Senegal, they were baptized in Jesus' name. And they said, we are taking this one God message with us back to Mauritania. This is a situation that is being highly monitored, and we're getting help to go into this vast nation of North Africa. The next slide, please. Effectiveness in the Lord Jesus. This new couple going into the capital of Morocco, an American United Pentecostal family. They spent 6 months there last year, and we went and I introduced them. I took this family, and we met this young girl. She's college graduate. Next slide, please. Just a genius, head on her shoulders, speaks fluently four languages. She is reading David Bernard in Arabic. She is reading The New Birth in Arabic. And she says to my wife and me, she wrote a note last week on Messenger. She said, it is now 1 year since you baptized me in Jesus' name. And she is going on. She says, for me, God cannot be three or more. For me, God is only one. She is a national Moroccan, not raised in Islam. That is very, very, very much the minority, but she knows the truth of Scripture front and back. She can quote the Old Testament, quote the New Testament. She knows all the great arguments of Scripture theologically, and she's just a lovely young person. Next slide, please. We're talking about recent effectiveness, and this young man, his name is Ayub, and he is from Tunisia, and this is about 30-minute flight from where we live in Malta. And we can be on the ground there, and he meets us at the airport. He helps us get around the place. He brings people out to meet us, at the airport and at places where we're having prayer meetings, and he is a great witness for the Lord. My wife and I went in February, the last time we were there of this year, and we baptized this young man in the name of Jesus. He knows four languages. He has a four-year college degree. He's reading David Bernard in Arabic and reading The New Birth and the Oneness of God, and we couldn't be happier about this arrangement and situation, because God is bringing souls into the kingdom of God. I believe that it's working like this. I would challenge everybody in the church here this morning, take the time and go up to the mirror and look in the mirror and say, Lord, I've prayed the Lord of the harvest 15, 20, 30, 40 times. I've prayed the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the harvest. I've prayed it 100 times. And so after you've prayed it all these numbers of times, but listen to me. Look at yourself in the mirror and then say that the prayer request that Jesus makes. You pray the Lord of the harvest that he sends laborers into the harvest. And then if you think, you know what, if I'm not one of those laborers, if I'm not putting the sickle to the corn, what would I expect that my neighbor or my friend or compatriot should do? I want to be involved in that, because there's a great deal of rejoicing. So here's what you do. Take the time with your iPad, your computer, your laptop, your desktop. Take your time with your phone that has some kind of a note section and just type out your testimony. It doesn't have to be lengthy. Read it out loud. If it's 2, 3, 4 minutes, perfect. Just type it out and say, this is what Christ the Lord has done. This is what Jesus has done for me. Write it out and then go up to the mirror again and speak that. Here's what Jesus has done for me. This is what he has brought into my life. Redemption and salvation, healing. He's done some really, really good things. He's brought me a greater career than I ever would have thought imaginable. And then you're going to take that and you're going to fold it up. And you're going to go out, put it in your pocket, and you're going to witness to somebody. And if it's like going on to water on a duck's back, go back to it, adjust a little bit of the wording here and there, and then go back on your knees and pray. Will you do that? Here is what's going to happen. You're going to get so excited. You're going to pray the Lord of the harvest that he sends laborers into his harvest. You're going to go up to the mirror and you're going to speak that testimony. This is what Jesus has done for me. Then you're going to do this. This is the second thing, and I'll begin to close with this. You're going to go to a place of intercession, a closed closet. You're going to go to a place where it is you and the Spirit of the Lord. And you say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Speak it out loud. Thank you, God, with a heart of gratitude for saving my soul. Here is the way that it writes out that I've written out that you've given me. I've witnessed to sometimes perfect strangers or people that I've known for years on their job, my auntie, my nephew, my loved one. I've told them about you. But now here this morning, Jesus, God, I would pray again, Lord. I would pray, Jesus, that you would use me in intercession for the lost. Lift your hands this morning and say, use me, Lord Jesus, in intercession for the lost. God is putting that mantle of Christian authority all around the world. Matthew 24 and 14 is being done in the midst of false Christs raising themselves, in the midst of things where Jesus said, be careful that you are not deceived, in the midst of the wars and rumors of wars, in the midst when earthquake, famine, and pestilence are taking place. This gospel of the kingdom, it's moving, my friend. And if we get behind the effort to move it, if we do our part to move this message, you're going to be a fulfilled individual, going to be a fulfilled believer in Jesus. Amen and amen. So the next slide, and we'll begin to finish up. In Malta, Tia was filled. Next slide. And just a few weeks later, Simeon. Now, that right there, that is a picture of Brother Pastor Scott and Sister Valerie Stevens, both licensed ministers of United Pentecostal Church, and both from Wisconsin. Woo! And so you people, you good people of Wisconsin, you have sent soul winners to Malta. And this, my wife and I are so honored that these people are overqualified doing what they're doing, but they win people to the Lord. And they see them filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're hiding identities a little bit. I've changed the name just ever so slightly there. So please go on. And this is Bill. He and I were university students in old-time California when things were black and white, not 30, 40 years ago or 45 years ago. He and I were university students 50 years ago this year. And 2.5 years ago, the Lord put him on my heart. I began to call Bill. I said, Bill, I don't know, I can't explain this very well, but I just have had your name on my heart for weeks now. I pray about it. I can't dismiss this. I've just felt the need to call you. I don't know about your opinion of God or how you view Jesus. He goes, Kirby, wait a minute. What do you have for me? And so I began to talk to him. I said, do you have a Bible? He says, of course I do. So he went and got his Bible on the phone, 5,000 miles apart. I'm in Malta. He's near San Francisco, California. And so I began to show him the identity of Jesus Christ. I began to show him the plan of salvation. And by the end of that phone call, he goes, I see what you're talking about. And so we began a weekly Bible study. And just after 2 months, this photo was taken. My wife and I had to be in California for medical tests. Everything was just fine. But we met with Bill. He drove 2 hours to be with us, and we prayed together. And about 3 weeks maybe after this photograph, he goes for the first time into a United Pentecostal church just down the street from him. He gets baptized in Jesus' name. And he received the gift of the Holy Ghost just a few weeks after that. He's been in the church now more than 2 years, and the Lord is using him. Pastor's calling him in for private instruction, and he has been at the California Western District Camp Meeting the last 2 summers. He has been the only guitar player up on the platform wailing away for Jesus, and we are grateful because somebody, you know, somebody's putting the sickle to the corn. We can all do it, my friend. Your testimony coupled with your time of intercession before the Lord. And closing, we show you our grandson. Our eldest grandson is David, 23 years of age. He goes into the U.S. Army. He writes to my wife. He says, Grandma, guess where they're shipping me? Well, I had, hang up, slow on that slide there. I get this ticket for Kuwait because I have to go preach a conference in Kuwait in the Gulf. And so I've got my ticket. And David writes and says, guess what, Grandma? The U.S. Army is shipping me to Kuwait. My wife and I were a little bit alarmed. He doesn't know the Lord. He needs Jesus as Savior. So I ask, oh, God, can I see my grandson in Kuwait? Can I pray with him and talk to him about the things of God? And I wrote the U.S. Army. I wrote our U.S. Senator. I wrote all these congressmen and the USO and chaplaincy department and all this. And everyone wrote back and said, no. You may not see your grandson in Kuwait. So I go to Kuwait. He's already there. And I get into my hotel. And I'm saying, oh, Jesus, my grandson's in a dangerous place. I can't see him. But, Lord, would you open his heart to the things of the gospel? He's not raised to be in church. Our daughter only goes intermittently. But we leave Kuwait. He leaves a few months later. And then just April of this year, my wife and I are getting ready to leave Malta to come on this deputation. She gets this morning text. She says, Kirby, listen. And I start going like this. I said, what is it? She goes, David's writing. He's going all over Fort Bliss, El Paso, Texas, saying that he is a believer in Jesus Christ and that he is now a Christian. He's living for God. He's read the book of Genesis. He's read part of the book of Exodus, and he's moving forward with this. And he says, Grandma, I don't intend to give up on this. I want to know more about this Jesus. We got a hold of our daughter, and our daughter drove all the way from Phoenix, Arizona to El Paso, Texas, collects David, and together they go to Sunday morning United Pentecostal Church together. Friend, prayer works. The sickle goes into the corn. Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you for the opportunity of coming and being with you here in Racine, Wisconsin, Apostolic Faith Church. God bless you. Thank you, brother and sister Schumacher. Thank you, brother and sister Portman. The sickle. You're taking that harvest tool. You're taking that tool. That tool is your witness. That tool is your testimony. That tool is your ability to be moved on by the Holy Ghost by intercession for the lost. And then the last two slides, it just is a way of saying thank you. The best is yet to come. Keep advancing. One, two more slides yet, and then thank you, Brother and Sister Hoffman. There it is. The best is yet to come, and thank you. Because you sacrifice, we are able to take this message overseas and beyond, and it's moving all around these areas that we've talked about this morning. Jesus loves you. We love you. Thank you so much for this morning. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Schumacher. Love you and appreciate you.
Glory to God. Amen. You know, we cannot be satisfied until we're a part of the harvest. A lot of people are looking for a position in the church to satisfy it. It just won't work. It's duplicating ourselves. The scripture that came to mind was Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and of course it talks about the whole armor of God. But verse number 19, Paul says this, "And for me, the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." God, compel me that I just don't keep this information to myself when there are people walking by me every day that are dying. Could I see them through God's eyes? Could I feel what God feels when I walk into that grocery store or get gas or one of my relatives? It's like the prophet and the Shunammite's son. He sent someone to put his staff on his face, and it never did a thing. But he had to take the boy to his room. Eye to eye, hand to hand, mouth to mouth, and all of a sudden, he sneezes and life comes back. There were people who looked at me long before I came in the church thinking, he'll never get saved. I had friends that were in the church who didn't even bother witnessing to me because they never thought there was a chance that I would respond. But how many people are like that around us? If you want to have the best year you've ever had in your life, then speak boldly to somebody and see what God will do in your life. Hallelujah. Every healthy thing in this world reproduces. And at 71, I still want to reproduce, folks. There's where the fold is. Amen. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you'd put a burden upon each and every one of our hearts, God, that the next time someone walks by us or we have a contact with a relative, that there's something in our heart that says, I've got to talk to them. I've got to tell them. I got to give them the truth. I got to allow them to see the joy that we have in serving you, God. Please, Lord, open a door that no man can shut. And shut some doors that no man can open. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Let us be a part of the harvest. Would you come forward? Would you ask God? God, please allow me to be profitable for your kingdom. I just don't want to occupy, God. I want to be able to produce.